Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head.
You know I'm hungry. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, and I am so glad to welcome you on this beautiful April evening. First, I'd like to pause and thank Gay Adegbolola, who brought us in with Hungry Woman Blues. I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. And so we do set the intention to curing both the hungry woman and the hungry man blues on this show, where, you know, it's been, let's see, July will make 9 years where on second Sundays at 6, we've dished up divinely delicious consciousness-raising creations to feed your mind, body, and soul. So before we get into tonight's juicy topic with our wonderful guest, I am going to share a little bit about myself and what my holistic table has been serving up over the past few decades. It's been quite a lot. And currently, I do just amazing holistic healing, teaching, and writing. And that encompasses so many different things. And, you know, from sacred healing sessions that integrate massage and Reiki energy healing, aromatherapy, intuitive messages, et cetera, to my women's gatherings and retreats and healing circles and Reiki training and other holistic training. And, of course, my books and meditation CDs, all of that yummy stuff, but I'm telling you, the favored child definitely has been Mind, Body, and Soul Food Radio, this show. And, you know, it has provided an opportunity each month, that is when I'm not on hiatus, to feed our listeners with mind, body, and soul nourishing information. And I love the opportunity to give voice to the vision of some amazingly gifted holistic healers and light workers. And it's been a little over a year now that we expanded to Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, where my soror, cousin, and sister healer, Khadija Seven, hosts A Wonderful Approach. And so I love her. I love her show. It's the same length, the same number, the same great energy. She is so insightful, wonderful shares. So I invite you all to tune in on Wednesday nights at 8 as well. I am taking a breath in this moment. I'll talk about some of my other offerings as I talk with our guest, because we have been traveling together in a sense over the past several months. I guess actually it's been over a year now, but just more closely over the past several months. And we have some fun projects together, and we can talk about that as well as other things. But, you know, tonight I really was, I was pondering on how much of what we experience in life that's a holdover from what's been passed down through many generations. And I know that we all have this powerful tool called choice. sometimes, though, there are circumstances that may seem to limit our choices that can deal us a hand that may make it a little more difficult to play, so to speak. Perhaps relationship patterns, alcoholism, poverty, abuse, and many more. And sometimes when we have been in a place of choice and following these patterns, you know, we may get to a place where they no longer serve us. And we realize, hey, this is a wound that's brought about from past generations. So I really wanted to explore what are some tools that we can use to heal these generational wounds. So our guest tonight is here to do that. She is chock-fulla, as I like to say, chock-fulla so many different skills, abilities, and so I'll let her share some of those with you and more. So without further ado, I would love to introduce you to tonight's guest, Dr. Sean Ricks. Hello, Dr. Sean. Welcome.
Good evening, Reverend Tanya. Thank you so much for having me.
It is definitely a pleasure to have you on. I don't know why it didn't come to me sooner. I mean, it could have been those, 6 months I was on hiatus from 2018 to 2019, but it became so clear. It's like, why don't you ask Dr. Sean on the show? You even recommended someone else to be on the show sometime last year, remember?
I did. But everything happens in divine timing. It's happening when it's supposed to.
I agree wholeheartedly. So I've gotten a chance to get to know you, and we've become really good buds and all of that. But I would love for our listeners to find out who you are and what you serve at your healing table.
I love that analogy of the healing table. That really brings me joy. So who I am a spiritual healer and an intuitive healer who really tried to hide from that for many, many, many years through some alternative careers that had healing components in them. One of those was higher education. What I do primarily, I'm a licensed professional counselor as well, and a licensed clinical addiction specialist, a hypnotherapist, dabble in some Reiki and some Qigong as well. And so I've been expanding the menu at my healing table, really in service of trying to help primarily Black and Brown women, since that's the closest experience, you know, that I can kind of relate to, heal, just find ways to have joy and have peace and have happiness.
And you are very good at what you do.
Thank you. Now, here's the disclaimer.
I am going to reveal our relationship to folks so that they will know that we are exchange partners. And so one of the things that I receive from you is hypnotherapy and the coaching that comes along with it. And it has been so powerful, so healing. And I thought about you today when I put on a T-shirt I hadn't put on, I'm thinking, since December. And I just happened to put it on. No, I put it on again last week or 2 weeks ago, and I didn't pay attention. But when I put it on today, I'm like, oh, there's some room. There's more room in this than there was when I first put it on and paid attention in December. And so I just wanted to thank you for that.
Oh, I give thanks. Thanks, sis.
Oh, my gosh. So
it's been my joy. It's really been a joy.
Okay, well, good. I am so glad. It's been mine as well. So I just wanted to let the listening audience know that you ain't no perfect stranger. You know. They know that I call upon my resources. I always say I have the best just spiritual community, healing community, and I pull from them for this show all the time for the last 9 years. But I, you know, you all have come into my life in a powerful way, and I'm so grateful to be able to share you with others. So, yeah. So how did you become called to this work around healing generational wounds?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and I guess, let me see. So I started my career, I think, really in a very cognitive fashion, trying to figure things out, which is a lot of what I see people do, you know, though, what does this mean? And just really using the brain portion of that. And I did that so well and to such an extent that I started teaching that. And so, you know, part of my past is as a professor in higher education, teaching around counseling and human services and healing. And what started to happen was students and staff and faculty would come by my office and sit down and just want to chat. You know, do you have some time? Do you have a few minutes? And it started happening with such regularity that my, you know, appointment book was starting to look like what I think, you know, well, actually what my book looks like now in terms of, you know, regular spots. And I said, well, if I'm going to do this, I should, let me, you know, go ahead and get my license so that I could, you know, actually my goal was at that time that I would be able to bring more into the classroom, that I would be able to say, hey, this is what we teach, but this is what's actually happening. But I was still doing that from a really theoretical base, you know, trying to, you know, by getting that license. And that's sometimes the licenses have more of a disease model, that something is wrong with people. And I've never subscribed to that. I've always subscribed to a strengths-based model, that we are, we all have the potential and the ability within us to heal. We just fall off the path, perhaps, or, you know, we've got a little off track from ourselves. And it's helpful when you have someone else kind of working with you to get back if you've lost something or if you feel overwhelmed. And so so once I started kind of doing, you know, this piece, it really has grown quite naturally. And I finally, I will say reluctantly, stepped into actually saying that this is one of my callings. This is my calling to help others help themselves, and that I've done it in one way for a long time, which is fine. And now I'm doing it in a more deliberate fashion here where I live, which is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where I have a private practice. And I see clients there, and I see clients virtually as well. And, you know, it's just been growing, which I believe is the universe's way of telling me it's been growing so easily that it's the universe's confirmation, is what I believe.
Beautiful. And I love listening to your story because it always reminds me of some of the parallel paths that we've traveled. You know, I was a licensed professional counselor for many years in Virginia before leaving that profession and doing healing in a different way. I was a professor, and at one time I was teaching various counseling classes as well. And so I love with, you know, when we have these commonalities pop up. And, you know, when we discovered that recent one, when you put a post on Facebook on March 13th, and I wasn't even thinking about the date, and you were talking about your wedding anniversary. Was it 26 years, and it was you got married during the storm of the century. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait, 1993, March 13th. Oh, my God, I got married on that day, too, on the storm of the century.
Yes.
That was too funny. It's like, oh, we really are twinning. We really are twinning. But You're still married. I'm not. But
yes. Yes. Two successful marriages that have gone different ways.
There you go. There you go. But yeah, I love that you are doing your work your way, which I never saw my way to do that when I was in practice. So I'm excited about the various tools that you have to use and the various ways in which you show up as a healer in your practice. I would love to know, what are some of the most common generational patterns that you encounter in your practice?
Wow, that's a really good question. And I think one of the most common things that I've been seeing from folks really is that I think are generationally taught and carried it genetically, this anxiety and depression. I've been seeing a lot of that. And the way that it's showing up really is in people bringing in, I think, stories of not feeling kind of worthy enough, not having, not feeling powerful, you know, not having balance, not even knowing what that looks like. And a lot of that, we believe, you know, comes from a couple of things. You know, one, the genetically encoded kind of trauma for some marginalized populations of what it's like to still leave the house every day and wonder what will this day bring in terms of microaggressions or other kind of pieces along that lines. And then the other has come, especially when I work with women, I see a lot of behavior that's been really socialized to the point where we can't even recognize it as slightly faulty behavior, and it's just so deeply kind of planted, which is why I went into hypnotherapy, really, is because I was running out of ways to help people dodge themselves. You know, we block ourselves so much from our own gifts and our own glory, just with our mind. And so those are the two big ones that I see, is a lot of anxiety. And I think that my belief around anxiety is that really it comes from not being truly who we were meant to be. And so that's what, again, while I went into the more holistic approach of helping people find their life paths and kind of reconnect and disconnect if needed, you know, from, you know, people and family or whatever it is that is not necessarily, you know, feeding us.
You know, and I'm hearing you use the terms anxiety and depression, and I think we all have different connotations for them and what that might look like. I mean, I know what the diagnostic and statistical manual would say about both of those as a quote-unquote disorder or what have you. But the way they show up can be so varied. So varied. I was, I always used to talk about an office where I worked where there were two, well, at the time they were called secretaries, but two administrative professionals in the office. And they were constantly at each other. And what I came to realize was it was because they could not see themselves in each other. They both suffered from incredible anxiety. And her anxiety manifested as just getting flustered a lot and losing a lot of detail and, you know, getting distracted and just hands, if you get an image of hands just kind of ringing and up in the air, oh my, what do I do? And the other, her anxiety manifested as what we would call obsessive compulsive behavior. She had to put controls around her. She had to dot every I, cross every T, follow every detail. Everything was orderly, and if it did not go according to plan, she would have a meltdown. And so it was just fascinating to view. So, you know, I'm telling that story to say that sometimes we don't even know that we are experiencing quote-unquote anxiety or quote-unquote depression because it can manifest differently.
Absolutely. I'm so thankful that you said that. And I'm thankful that you're putting quotes around them as well, right, because those terms are heavy terms that do have different meanings for people. And one of the things that I found working primarily with women of color is that the symptoms of, in particular, you know, we'll say depression, don't necessarily show up the same way. And so we are not being I don't like this term either, but we're not being diagnosed when we go to seek initial help. Because just stepping back for a moment, what I have found that with most people, when they're starting to feel overwhelmed and start, you know, once they've exhausted their friend group and their aunties and their, you know, everyone they think they can talk to about it, you know, sometimes someone will say, go see your doctor, your primary care doctor. And that's normally the first screening. But that first screening has fallen short for so many of us because we don't lay in the bed typically, you know, when we're, you know, feeling anxious or depressed because we, quote unquote, have to keep going. So it manifests for us more in the things that you mentioned exactly, the, you know, keeping on top of things, the overscheduling, the feeling kind of pulled in a whole bunch of directions, but keeping your schedule super, super tight. And then wondering why the shopping too much. It plays out in some other ways that just typically don't look. You know, if someone doesn't, people think if I'm not laying in the bed or I'm not curled up in a corner or whatever, but those just aren't true. You know, it really is to me, and this is a recent discovery, right? If you don't wake up in the morning and just feel joy in your heart, you know, then you're out of balance. And if you're out of balance, then we're working on trying to get you back there, even without those terms, even without those words. But that's what it basically boils down to, you know, and the things that we do habitually become who we are. And so once you've been out of balance so long, I think people start to believe this is me. I am the one who's supposed to never be, you know, happy or never truly have whatever it is that I desire, but instead be in service of others and provide it for them, some of those socialization pieces. So, sorry, I feel like I'm rambling now. I'll stop.
No, not at all, not at all. You came up with some really key points there. And it's interesting how you were talking about how the screening, so to speak, may happen at a primary care physician's office. And I'm thinking about how we can internalize so much of our feelings because we got to keep going. So we stuff down a lot of what we have. So, I mean, all of these stress-related conditions that can show up can be a function. You know, it's not just – it didn't just appear.
They are a function. Yes, they are a function of how we have manifested kind of, you know, our lives. And for some of us, you know, for Black women, so I wrote an article for Yes Magazine about how I stopped playing the strong Black woman. And I wrote this one primarily because, I kept seeing people, both as students, as friends, as colleagues, myself, you know, that kept talking about, like you're saying, well, I have to do this. And then so I get up at 4 and I put the food on and then I go, you know, feed this one and I take this one to school. And then, and I, you know, my eyes were like, and it was only because having grown up, you know, in a large city with a single mom who really worked so hard and provided me with so many opportunities, you know, I had kind of been aware of what that looks like, to be, you know, having to get things done and not having the kind of, we'll say, a fall between or any type of gap coverage. But then I also lived this life in quote-unquote suburbia, right? And I saw a completely different pace. I saw a completely different, you know, lifestyle. I played tennis in the mornings and, you know, there was, you know, afternoon lunches before picking up the children. Like, it was a completely different. And so having seen that spectrum, I started to realize when people came in that people take their worldview, they take their lives, and whatever it is, and sometimes it's chaos, they'll normalize it. And so now we have this normalized chaos of, this is what I do, and this is how it is, and this is how I get through. And then they also end up, it seems, surrounding themselves with people and events and opportunities that actually reinforce that viewpoint so that they can maintain their thoughts of who they really are and what they get to do. And so, of course, now I'm talking about some vibrational and some law of attraction stuff. But this is kind of what I've seen. And so they walk around almost like, I just had a visual of almost like a pod, right? They walk around with this like egg, you know, this shell around them. And that's say, this is who I am. And I'm trying to say, if we could just tap through that a little bit, now, this is who you've created yourself to be based on your experiences, but this is not necessarily who you are. And so all of the work that I've been led to really has become like, how do I get people, and again, always including myself, always trying to do my work, but how do I get people to that space? And that's why I can kept banding my tool bag or the plates on my table, because just talking to people, just talking to someone's mind, like even you and I right now, we're only using 5% because we're in our conscious brain. That's 5%. The other 95% is unconscious stuff. And so I felt like I'm not as effective if I just sit in a chair and talk to someone for an hour, because they want to talk about how to reinforce what they already know themselves to be.
I love that. Love that. And that is so true. Oh, I am grateful.
You get me so
for
excited, Reverend Tanya. Man.
I do. I get excited. I get excited, you know.
You get me excited, too.
Well, see, here's the thing. When I was in practice, I didn't have the insights that you have now. What I had was a recognition that I needed to do more than what I was, quote unquote, allowed to do in a community mental health center, that it was limiting. And I just, and even when I tried private practice for a year or two, I still didn't have the tools yet, or I hadn't fully integrated, and I had to totally leave the profession to get it, to understand about using, accessing more than that 5%. And so I never made a choice to return back other than to do a brief stint for some crisis work, which, glad that's I think I'm suited for other things. I'll put it like that. But I am so glad that you've had that recognition and that you are evolving in your practice to be able to integrate that really powerfully for those who come to see you. I want to pause for a moment and invite any of our listeners to ask questions or chime in on the discussion. So our call-in number is 917-889-7806. Again, that's 917-889-7806. And if you would like to speak with our guest, Dr. Sean Ricks, and myself, then please make sure you press 1, and that will indicate that you want to talk versus just listen in on the line. We do have several folks who are listening in via phone this evening, so I just wanted to give them that opportunity if they had questions. But in the meantime, you know, I spoke earlier about choice being a powerful tool in our healing. So I would love to hear from you. What are some tools that you found that we can use to heal and release these generational wounds?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, as I said, I started out with traditional talk therapy, which I still believe is very valuable in its place, expanded to hypnotherapy, which I believe is invaluable. And first let me just define what hypnotherapy is a little bit. So we're all in kind of, hypnosis is like a natural state that we're in throughout the day off and on. If you've ever taken a long kind of highway drive and you kind of quote unquote zone out, that's really the state that we get to, just a really deep kind of relaxation that once your brain feels so comfortable that it can almost, you know, kind of shut off a little bit, it can relax a little bit. And when it does that, then we're able to actually talk to or develop or deal with some of the kind of more deeply rooted anchors. And those are in the terms of suggestions, which on that same highway drive would be billboards. So that's why they're kind of there, right? Or that's why we have commercials, because you're kind of watching something, you kind of turn off your brain a little bit, commercial pops up, and you're like, oh, wait, I am thirsty or I am hungry, because it's planting kind of a deep suggestion for you over time. That, to me, has been one of the very, very valuable tools, so valuable that what I really like to do typically with clients is once we've addressed whatever it is they're trying to work on, and people come in with anywhere between one and like four things, and we take each one of them as they come, and each one can take a different time length. But part of the process is teaching people how to do this on their own then, like how do you maintain this? Because one of the biggest things really is intentionality, right? Paying attention to our surroundings or our thoughts or our feelings or whatever it is. And then the intention we put around, you know, how we want to either, do I want to continue with that thought, or am I noticing, oh, this is that thought I have that says, you know, you're not capable, and just kind of watching that one float by and then saying, okay, and how am I going to kind of follow that up, or do I want to stick with that? Or so just being intentional on how we daily, what kind of mental nutrition we have each and every day. Because that's, and if we don't feed ourselves, like if we don't intentionally do that, it's not like the brain is going to starve. It's going to pull from its reserves, which in this case are typically anchored messages, and start replaying stuff that it already knows or thinks it knows, right? So it'll go back to like autopilot. Last example with the highway, but this is like when you've been driving for a long time and you're an hour seven or something, and you got another couple hours, and someone else says, hey, do you want me to drive? You know, at the end of a long day, or, you know, the end of a long week, that's the subconscious and conscious mind. And oftentimes we'll tap out and say, you know what, this is hard, to be intentional and to really be like in the moment and be mindful. And we'll tap out and we'll say, okay, subconscious, you take it from here. And then we kind of go on autopilot and just float around a little bit. So the hypnotherapy is really, really important. But the way trauma gets in the body is what I've been studying lately as well. So, you know, part of what I've noticed when we talk about health disparities, when we talk about, really the rate of heart disease. And one of the reasons I wrote that earlier article that I alluded to is because my grandmother passed at such a young age, at 69, and I never really saw her do health, self-care work. But I realized that, you know, for the health disparities and for this gap, telling people to take a walk is great, or to eat less sweets. But the way the mind and the body is connected in terms of holding trauma in ourselves, and in terms of creating states of dis-ease with our mind, and if the mind can create that, then we can also create wellness, We can create sickness, we can create wellness. So I've moved into, you know, also first releasing. That's why I went, you know, into Reiki a little bit and into the Qigong a little bit as well. And just to help people release in meditation, which is one of my, becoming quickly one of my all-time favorites, but to help us release from our bodies, you know, the wounds that we carry from experiences that have happened to us, from thoughts that we have swallowed whole, undigested, and have carried with us, so that we can release those and find more balance.
And I found myself just going into this hypnotic state because I'm so used to, you know, your voice, you know, going into an induction and going into that state. So I had to, like, wait, Tanya, focus.
Yeah, come back.
Come back. You know, I would love to share an experience that happened during one of our hypnotherapy sessions. That's a powerful case in point for what you've been describing. I really, you know, when I am in a hypnotic state, there's some things I remember and there's some things that I don't remember. And I know that it's getting to my subconscious. But after we had a session, there was something that had come up for me, and it was a remembrance of, as a child, I wet the bed. And it was ongoing for quite some time. My mom may remember. I see she's on the line. And it was like they tried different things to get me not to do it, and the quote-unquote cure seemed to be what I call the potato chip cure. I would have some potato chips at night, and I stopped wetting the bed. And then I realized time went on over the years, I became like a potato chip addict, you know, and, you know, perhaps it was something in there, the salt I may need in my body or what have you, but it's like chips are comfort food for me. And I know within my family, food soothes us in various ways. And I still am working with that chip thing, but it helped that I realized I was allergic to potatoes. And that allergy went on, or I really started eliminating or limiting potatoes and potato chips in my diet for 10 years. And then when I discovered that other foods that I was allergic to, I was tolerating again and not having the same reaction, I brought potatoes back. And so potato chips have slowly, you know, made their way back into my life, but not to the same extent, thankfully. But periodically,
right,
I still have my moments with it. But just that is something that's so old. That's decades old for me. And I think when I get together with family, it's like food is everything. Who's bringing what?
Yes.
And there's been so much resistance in my family over the years to eating differently. And that's not for everyone. You know, I have to say my mother has been my biggest champion. And she has definitely made some changes in what she eats, and other family members, I've had conversations with them. I had a nephew ask me about Dr. Sebi, and it just blew my mind. It's like, what?
Wow.
Sebi is interested in finding out more. And when I bring my vegetable dishes, you know, whatever healthy dishes I bring to family events, they're very well received, and I'm so grateful to be able to help shift some of those patterns in my family as I continue to work with them within myself. But it was just really powerful how that came up, and I had totally forgotten about the potato chips in that room, and seeing that link to how I was holding on to them to soothe mm-hmm. my anxiety.
Yes, yes. And it's such a powerful example. I mean, really, and one of the things I love about you is your bravery and sharing your, you know, your journey as a way to reach and encourage others as the sign of a truly gifted healer. So I really admire that in you. But that's just what I see with people that I work with. And in myself, of course, is we're not even aware of where some of these messages have come from and why we, you know, feel drawn to do something or and anyone who's experienced any self-sabotage really has basically tried to pull themselves out of, you know, a space intentionally using that intention. And then their core self has said, this is not who you are. You know, get back over here in this corner and go sit down somewhere or, you know, whatever. And they'll go back to doing whatever that other behavior is to bring them back. So people who have repetitive relationships, people who, you know, gain and lose the same 20 pounds. I'm raising my hand right now. You can't see that. You know, people who, you know, all these things where you're like, I don't know what happened. I was doing whatever. And then I stopped something, right? I stopped working out, or I stopped meditating, or I stopped being intentional about my nutrition or reading or taking time for myself or whatever it is. You know, the closer we get to balance, if we haven't taken those big rooted messages out, almost the harder our subconscious will try to pull us back to the imbalance because it believes it is our balance. It's created as the new normal, as our homeostasis. It says this is our range. This is where you live. And when we pull out of it, it'll let us go almost to the edges. And then it's like, oh, you know, and then when it really sees you like taking off in the home stretch, it's like sticks its little foot out there and trips you. It's like, wait a minute, where are you going? And then you're like, how do I find myself at the starting line again? Like, why do I feel like I'm, you know, I've done this like 100 times? Well, you have. Because you're just, you know, repeating, you know, old things. So I see progress in a third of the time when we use hypnotherapy, you know, because it allows people to speak to messages that they've received and may not be aware of and to replace things. So nothing, I'd also just like to say that nothing has to be quote unquote wrong, you know, to work on, to use hypnotherapy or any healing method, because there's always, you know, there's this enhancement, right? So hypnotherapy for manifesting, you know, your best career or, you know, to prosperity or, and that's something I see a lot, that we block ourselves from prosperity. And I think this is an old rooted message, but I mean, I don't have time to go into that one, but you know, there's something about the energy and thoughts and feelings we have about, in particular, financial prosperity that oftentimes will block ourselves from receiving that as well. Mm-hmm. And so we just work on removing blocks, getting yourself out of the way for just a minute so that you can do what you were really just born to do.
You know, when you said that came up for me are some of the messages that we just accept hook, line, and sinker. You know, the struggle is real.
Yes.
It's hard out here for a pimp, you know.
Yes, yes.
Going off to the grind. You know, all of these things don't speak to joy and ease in our life.
Yes. They don't. We don't buy into those messages. And you're right. I'm glad you brought up the larger portion of just what we take in daily. So it's not just the messages that we learn from our, you know, our small cultural groups, our family units. But then, you know, you're right. We have messages like just that just reinforce that just be happy for what you get and, you know, work hard and it's Friday, it's payday, so great, we party on Fridays, but the rest of the week we hustle and it's just, and we just reinforce that, we take it in, and then we're like, okay.
Now, I'm going to take it deep here, too. I'm going to take it deep because what's also coming up for me right now are cultural patterns that have taken place. And, you know, I'm actually visualizing in my head a line of Africans who were brought here and enslaved, and how, you know, in order to get through, they were, you know, they basically had to buy into, well, it'll be better, you know, once we go to the promised land, once we die and, you know, get to heaven and all of that, because they also were indoctrinated in the theology of their enslavers. And, you know, so that was a way of making them complacent with their condition, with their situation, and to not expect for anything to be any better until they die.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a really, really common pattern, you know, I see as well in terms of how some people view their time here versus, you know, like you said, the, you know, just hold on, just make it through. And a lot of times I think that, you know, it's not the spiritual, it's not the actual song, it's the interpretation and then the how people then, how it resonates with people, you know, how they take that message to be like, okay, well, I'm not meant to have joy or happiness or peace on this side of the plane. But what if, and this is something that I often share with, you know, folks I work with, what if it was an and? What if, you know, we lived with so much abundance that you could be happy here and you could be happy, you know, in the afterlife? Or you could, you know, be working at this particular position and be doing something on the side that brings you, you know, whatever it is. Like, there's people love this binary of, well, if I'm this, I can't be this. And if I do this, I can't do that. And if, you know, if this, and really we broke that a little bit. I think that's like one of the biggest things, is we just let people know, like, you can, like, whatever. And you can be really working diligently towards your own self-worth and self-healing, you know, and always have room for improvement. I think it's just wide open.
So possibility as a powerful tool, just opening to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And opening to the possibility of the and. I love that.
Yes. And to me, that has been, when I mentioned earlier this notion of how we learn to kind of play small. So I don't even think I've even seen this movie, but there's some kind of movie where it says nobody puts baby in the corner. I don't even know what movie is referenced, but that's the power of hypnotherapy. So I've heard it enough times that it's lived with me, right? And I can't even pull up where I know it, but it's in me because it came right out when I wanted it. But good movie, Dirty Dance. But anyway. But that's one of the things I like will say is that oftentimes we, you know, we put ourselves in a corner and we'll say, you know, who do you think you are? You know, what do you think you're doing? Who are you to have that idea or that next thought or to create this next thing or to do anything but try to, you know, get up and hustle for someone? And then, like you said, you know, wait, I'm going to just wait. I'm waiting basically to either retire, you know, and or die. And sometimes I've seen people waiting to retire and that, you know, the dying happened first, unfortunately. And so they didn't even get that, the vacation they were going to take or the, and one of the things that I love about doing this healing work and that I love about being in this new healing community is helping people bring things into the everyday. And so that every day I can have a taste of, you know, joy and pleasure. And so I'm not waiting for a vacation to have fun. I'm not waiting, you know, for my next shiny object to be, you know, wowed or enthralled. I'm good. Like, just like I am, you know, I wake up and it's like, okay, this is good. This is a good day. I might have to, you know, go to the office or I might, whatever's happening in our lives. But we can do all that. And regardless of how other people are treating us, of how the weather is, of, you know, all those other conditions. And we could still say, man, it was a really, really good day. To me, that's part of the goal.
Yes. All that. Yes.
Yes.
Offer our listeners a chance to chime in if they so choose. So the number is 917-889-7806. Please make sure you press 1 to speak to the host. If you have a question for Dr. Sean, or if you have a comment about what we've been discussing tonight, healing generational wounds. So we would love to hear from you. It's been a juicy discussion, for real, for real.
Yes, 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 absolutely. I give thanks.
Well, you know, I want to hear a little bit more about Qigong, because I only seem to practice it when I go somewhere and it's being offered, you know, like at a retreat or something like that. And so, you know, we're having our Mind, Body, and Soul Food Women's Weekend Retreat coming up June 21st through 23rd in Sharpsburg, Maryland. I'm so excited about it, and I am excited that you, Dr. Sean, have joined our group of powerful healers. And you will be teaching Qigong there.
Yes, yes. I'm very Yay. Excited about it. And I will be discussing. I mean, teaching it might be strong, but I will be actually doing some demonstration and just talking about how powerful Qigong can be in terms of healing. And so I give thanks to this wonderful community, again, of healers that I hang out with, that introduced, in particular, one of my really, really dear, dear friends and mentors, Malaika Pettigrew, who introduced me to many, many things, actually, in my life. But Qigong as knee-deep in Reiki, and she invited me to come down and just learn more. And one of the things that I am, people know, my circle of friends know that I am like wide open. Like you tell me, you know, like, hey, we're thinking about, you know, seeing if we can find some unicorns and we're going to ride those over rainbows. And I'm like, yes, you know, let's go. I'm packing my bag. And yeah, you know, and so my husband is oftentimes telling me, like, he's giving me, parameters. He's like, okay, where are you going? What? A unicorn? How are you going to find this? So he keeps me very, very grounded, and I'm so very thankful. But Malaika said, hey, you want to come learn about it? I said, yeah, I came down. And it really ties into really our power over ourselves and the energy that our body has, so that everything is being vibrational beings, that we're energetic beings. And, So Qigong goes through from the premise that, you know, if some of the mental things that we're dealing with become blocked, in Chinese medicine, this is the understanding that illness or disease, dis-ease is blocked emotional stuff that we haven't quite dealt with. So there's, you know, anger, it might be, you know, blocked around, you know, the stomach area, but it'll just get somewhere and kind of stay. And if it stays there long enough, you start to get symptoms, right? So you start to get, inflammation or arthritis or other things play out that are really about us not having dealt with something at an emotional level. So Qigong is something that is used not only for healing but for overall well-being. So if someone is out of balance, we can use it to bring them back to balance by basically sharing energy and removing their blockage, or helping them remove their blockage and feeding it instead with positive life force energy. But on a daily basis, also reminding our body to kind of move through all of the different meridian channels, to go all the way through, circulating that energy all the way through. And doing that in a really slow, deliberate, intentional way that has like a meditative state to it. So then you're mindful, you know, then you're bringing things up, you're dealing with things, you're moving that energy, you're getting everything kind of flowing, you know, in your body, so that you're moving closer to a more balanced and healed state. And this is, you know, 4,000-year-old, you know, practice. in China. And so it's just, to me, such a wonderful gift that we will be offering here in Winston. We'll be offering opportunities for people to come in and just kind of do some healing through that. But again, and it also, yeah, it ties into my goal that really, so the type of Qigong that I practice is Spring Forest Qigong. And his one of his mottos is like, you know, a healer in every home, like that we are our own healers, so that people understand the power that we have, you know, over our ability to heal ourselves, and whether that's through nutrition, which is why I love what you do with the power of, you know, bringing people around a table, you know, and that it's through, you know, how we intentionally think. So there's that mental, there's your mind part that you have as well. And then, the, you know, how we deal with ourselves on a spiritual level, that if we can get all those components kind of working more times than not, we're moving into really, really healthy states and can reverse almost anything that is kind of, you know, plaguing us, that we've been told is something you just, you know, have to get, or you just want to have to deal with it. You know, my mom had got the sugar when she was 64, and so I got two more years. It's just inevitable. You know, that mindset is just not, it's just not true. You know, it's, we were not designed to become, you know, sick. One of the things I was listening to is, I'm into a lot of podcasts now, so I don't know who I was listening to, but they were talking about how there's really, like, in the wild, like, there's no, like, you know, animal doctors running around, you know, treating people who, you know, this lion is in its 11th year and now it's got, you know, severe arthritis and it has all these things and it can't move. Like, they just move and move and move until it's time for them not to move, right? Until they're mm-hmm. transitioning on to another plane. They don't go through this very long disease state of chronic illness that humans do, because we've adopted some thoughts primarily that lead us to what we, where we think we should be, that we should just, you hear it all the time in the power of language, right? Like, oh, I'm getting old. Oh, this bone. Oh, hopefully I can make it. Oh, I don't know. Lord, you know, just this language that is really disempowering language.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. We have a caller who would like to talk. And let's see. There were a couple from the 336 area code, but this one has been hanging on. So, caller, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I just want to say that in the last year, I have been a part of this healing community with Dr. Ricks, and I see myself growing every single day. I'm learning something new. I'm feeling good about myself. I'm feeling good about the future for myself. And a year ago, I couldn't really say these things, and I am so thankful to be a part of this community.
Oh, thank you so much. I know who this is, but I'm not going to out them. But thank you so much. You know, you are truly a blessing to me and to all of the people who interact with you. But you have been a living example of the power of, I think, the energetic and vibrational community, that when we all get together and we all set our intentions as well, that it just raises us even higher. And so I give thanks for all that you do and for all that you are.
Thank you so much. But I really give thanks to having you in my life to help me along the path that I'm traveling now. I'm traveling a path that I've never traveled before in 50 years, and I'm happy for once in my life. I can say I am truly happy. I'm feeling good on the inside. I'm feeling good on the outside. So I know I still have a lot of growing, a lot of learning, but
we all do.
Yeah, it's a day by day process, and the process is a good process for me.
Yes.
What a beautiful testimony!
Thank you so much, and thank you, Dr. Ricks, and I'm glad to be listening in tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for chiming in. Thank you. That was a beautiful testimonial there. I love that. You know.
Yes, yes.
She's happy. Yeah, yeah. And as you know, you said as a comment to her, you know, we all have a lot of learning and growing to do. And I think that, you know, if we realize that and we open to that, that opens us up to the possibilities of really, really healing the deep-seated stuff that can grab a hold of us and you know, make it a little more challenging to move through it, to move forward.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, my goodness. We had a couple of more callers, and then they disappeared, or at least they took their little mark off. So it could have been that you answered their question in the midst of when you were talking. So that happens sometimes, too. So, you know, you've been involved with a project called No Mask, No Cape, or you founded the project or the initiative. I'm not sure what you call it, but I would love for you to share more about that.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you for the opportunity. So I founded No Mask, No Cape is my empowerment coaching program that, again, was born out of both the research I had been doing around normalized chaos and trying to get rid of this strong Black woman kind of narrative. And so the idea behind that is that we learn ways to show up authentically, so we take off our mask, and that we also realize part of our healing journeys or part of our journey doesn't mean we have to be super people, like super women. So it's interesting because I'm kind of conflicted around this Black girl magic thing, but we'll talk about that later. But we don't have to be super women anymore. And so this through this program, I work with women locally and nationally, just helping them figure out, you know, both kind of who they really are, quote unquote, you know, really discovering their passions, uncovering their passions. But while we're doing that, we simultaneously we do some healing work around it, right? So I think that makes me a really unique approach to this kind of life enhancement program, is that not only do we work on some actual tools, like what would you like to do, what would you like to, you know, where do you, you know, where do you want to go, what do you want to do? I just worked with a client who wanted to, you know, do a presentation at a conference, and so since I have this experience, you know, in a lot of areas as an author, as a presenter, as a bunch of things, apparently. As we were meeting, I said, let's write the proposal now. Let's, you know, find a conference. Let's write a proposal. Where do you want to go? Let's title it. You know, send it back to me. Like, I'll edit it. Let's get it out. And then she was accepted, and she's going to go present, and she's thrilled about it. And I'm so happy for her. But, you know, while we were doing that, simultaneously, we had to work with this notion that she felt like she wasn't ready to present. And where does that coming from? And, you know, why are you talking yourself out of it? And which I see a lot, people take two steps forward and then they'll spin themselves around and again, put themselves in the corner. And so we do that. And I do that in 4, 8, and 12 week kind of increments. And we offer some events here in town kind of around that where we're just trying to really help people recognize and just remind themselves that, you know, just as you are, no mask, no cape, you know, authenticity. And I do want to just say on a side note, we have a really hot logo for that. I mean, that logo is just beautiful. I'm actually wearing the T-shirt today. So it really is. A really talented sister not too far from here made my beautiful graphic for that. And so, you know, it's just gorgeous because I think because we're such visual creatures, just looking at things for us, you know, and looking at them intentionally and repeatedly is very, very helpful and necessary. And so, so we're excited about the opportunity to continue to launch that and to with like a mug in every home and a T-shirt on every body. That's my new logo.
I just made that
out this time. I
like that. Now you will have them at the retreat, correct? In June.
Absolutely, absolutely. Along with the two books that I have out now, and I'm working to a companion handbook around healing that's going to be called No Mask, No Cape. Basically, No Mask, No Cape, a handbook for healing. I mean, I'm going with simple on the name, but that really will talk about a lot of the points that we've covered and some really, I hope, immediately usable, practical, and portable tools that people can put into action to start living, you know, as quickly as possible and for as long as possible their best lives. I'm pretty sure I must be quoting someone else with that one, but I don't know who it is. But
me neither. Living my best life. Yes.
I know someone else has said that. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not hip to
I don't
some
know
things.
Either.
I just know if it catches on and it sounds good, then I'm saying it too.
There we go.
And, you know, and if we're going to say something, you know, that's not a bad one to say. That one is very affirming. I'm living my best life, right?
Yes. Absolutely. And affirmations. I'm so glad you said that. That's really how the brain, you know, the brain works. And so, you know, and that's another reason why I like the kind of hypnotherapy and why I have a group of people that I send out a morning affirmation to. And that's something that Spirit called me to do about a year and a half ago. And I was only going to do it for like you. Yes, I think you're on the group. So I was supposed to do it for like 12 weeks, at least in my mind, I thought, you know, that enough to kind of make a habit for people. And I had a small group, like 30 or 40 people. And then I sent out a message saying, okay, well, thanks, everyone. This has been great. And my mother was like, oh, no. There is no thanks. This has been great. This is helpful. I love getting it. Like, you better figure it out, boo. And I was like, okay, I guess this is continuing. And so I sent another message out saying, I'm going to keep going because my mom said I can't stop. And then people were sending messages, thanks, mom. So now I have over about 150 people daily that I send out a message to. That's an affirmation because the brain doesn't work in terms of negations. So when people say, you know, I don't want to be unhappy, the brain doesn't process the don't. It actually takes that out and just says, you know, I want to be unhappy is what it hears. It's just how it works. Just like if I told you right now, like whatever you do, Reverend Tanya, don't think about the Eiffel Tower. You saw a picture of it. It's how the brain works.
It came immediately to my mind, yes.
It came immediately to your mind. It says the brain has to see something to unsee it. Now, I'm not a neuroscientist, obviously, but, you know, my side hobby lately has been reading about the brain and, you know, going to seminars and whatnot. But once I, you know, really realized this, I said, okay, the brain doesn't work in negations. That's why affirmations are so important. It works in the affirmative. So instead of saying, I don't want to be unhappy, we have to learn to say things like, you know, I'm increasing my joy every day. You know, I am living in a state of peacefulness. I am, and just whatever it is. So don't even know how we got started on that. Now I'm truly rambling at this point.
No rambling at all. It's all related. And, you know, actually it segues into your contact information, because I would love for people to know how to get on your list to receive your wonderful daily affirmations and to find out more information. To perhaps explore services with you, because, you know, I am in Maryland, you are in North Carolina, and, you know, we're able to meet weekly or every other week for our sessions. You know, I love technology, being able to offer that. So it doesn't matter if someone is listening in from Dar es Salaam or...
It doesn't matter. And I have clients out of the country. I have international clients, and it's, you know, doesn't matter. If you have an internet connection, you know, or a reliable phone connection, we, you know, your phone plan is working, we can connect.
All right. I love it. So how can folks get a hold of you?
So they can visit my website. I think that would be perhaps, you know, a real easy way to get an overview of what I do, and that's www.drshawnricks.com. They can shoot me an email at info@drshawnricks.com. They can give me a call at 743-333-2544. If they're not ready to kind of start yet and you're still kind of dancing around that thought, please follow me on social media and start getting fed some positivity that way. I'm on Instagram at Dr. Shawn Ricks, Facebook, Dr. Shawn Ricks is my professional page, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn, you know, just reach out and find, you know, a method to start raising the vibration as much as possible, which is my goal daily is to, if I feel, you know, get something in, I try to circulate it back out that's positive and uplifting. And and I've even stopped, for those who may be listening who know me on a personal level, my personal Facebook page, I've even stopped sharing things that don't raise the vibration of folks or that people may not have a discharge plan for. And that's been new within the last year of my growth as well. So, but anyway, I'd love to connect with people and I'd love to help folks out any way that, you know, I'm destined to do.
Love it. Thank you. Do you have any activities coming up, any special programs? I know you periodically do groups and gatherings, so we would love to make sure that folks...
Yes. OMG, this is why I'm such a cloud person. I really need my grounded people around me. I should have written things down, so I'm just kind of but I do have two exciting things. One is we are launching a kind of a member-only kind of space on my website where we're creating kind of a virtual healing community that way where I will meet with – I'll go live kind of once a week, you know, and answer questions that way. I'll be posting things and kind of bringing a group along, just creating – what I think is a nice netting for people who often feel like they're floating on their own. We just want to gather everyone up and let them know that we're supported and kind of undergirded and we're all in this kind of together. So that information is on my website as well for the how to join kind of that group. We are starting kind of locally in May. We're going to be doing mental nutrition kind of class. I'm partnering with a vegan owner here in town that owns Happy Food. And we're going to be walking people through kind of vibrational eating, you know, through, you know, the power of shifting their diet to be more in line with, you know, increasing their overall health and wellness. So that will be a kind of face-to-face kind of offering that hopefully we'll be able to take virtually at some point. And then just keep checking the website. We have Tai Chi in there once a month. We have a brother, Sifu, who comes in and does Tai Chi. We have Reiki every Wednesday through Earth Feather. We have just meeting someone tomorrow to do a crystal healing class over the summer as well. So we're always looking for ways to collaborate, to use the space, and we offer classes just regularly and at reasonable costs just to help people figure out how they could move through their own journeys and give them a really, really, really full, really overflowing toolbox because one size doesn't fit all on these healing journeys either. And so, you know, having options, knowing, you know, well, today maybe I'm going to meditate, tomorrow I might need to meditate and Qigong, or maybe, you know, Qigong doesn't work for me, I want to do Tai Chi and Reiki, or maybe I need to journal, or, you know, we're just trying to throw out for people so that they know what's out there and can get themselves to a more more in balance state. So those are my new things. Of course, doing the retreat with you in June.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's something else I'm doing in June that I can't even remember right now. And so that's why the best way is to really follow me on social media or the website. My husband has really told me to get somewhere and get still when I left broccoli in the oven for 4 days. And so in terms of my own balance, trying to get my calendar into a state of more balance as well. But the healing opportunity, I love any opportunity I can get to share with people. I've been known to say yes to. So
let's go see the unicorns. Yes.
Yes. There you go. Yeah. We're going to go catch unicorns and ride them over the rainbow.
Yes. Let's do that. Now, you have some really juicy offerings. I am so excited for you and all the people in the Winston-Salem area who, you know, are that close to be able to access going on.
We'll be doing classes virtually as well, Reverend Tanya. We'll be expanding to that soon, so that classes will be right online. You can just click on it and watch it, or you can join us live. That's one of our goals for this summer.
I love it. That's a great goal. You go, girl.
Thank you.
Work it out. And, you know, not only will we have you in June, but you know, we're going to call on you when we take our Sacred Sedona Sojourn in August to share with the rest of the folks about Qigong as well. So we're so grateful that your generosity of spirit is opening up to be able to do that while you're in the midst of your retreat time. So that's amazing. I'm going to be Qigonging it all over the place.
I've never heard it used as a verb, but I love my people because we'll take anything and make it a verb. So very good.
I will do that. We do that, but I'm just owning my stuff right there.
Yes. That is funny.
All right. Well, I have a sneeze coming. I'm telling you that right in this moment. So it's like
okay.
I can't say anything until it comes out.
Okay, all right. Well, what do you need me to do?
I think I got past it. Okay.
Okay.
I just really want to thank you for sustaining us with some really powerful mind, body, and soul food. It's been wonderful just chatting with you and listening to all of the wisdom that comes through you as you. And I'm so grateful to have you in my life and to have you assisting me with my healing, some of my generational wounds. And so we invite our listeners to tune in for more delicious mind, body, and soul food next month on the second Sunday, which happens to be Mother's Day.
Nice.
At 6 p.m. Eastern. Yeah. So we are going to have someone that's familiar to you, Dr. Sean. It is Iya Demi, a.k.a. Rosa Griot. And
she is.
She is a priest of Yemaya in the Lukumi Santeria tradition. And she will be sharing on accessing our ancestors and other spiritual guidance from an indigenous African spiritual point of view. So I am really looking forward to that as well. I invite listeners to contact me at Tonya@mbsfood.com. That's T-O-N-Y-A at M as in mind, B as in body, S as in soul, food.com for more information about my holistic healing, teaching, and writing services. And so my website is www.mbsfood.com, as simple as that, and you can find out more information as well. So I am going to provide some leftovers for this evening, some mind, body, and soul food to go from Rachel Naomi Remen. And this quote says, healing may not be so much about getting better as about letting go of everything that isn't you, all of the expectations, all of the beliefs, and becoming who you are. And we know in spirit we are all perfect, whole, and complete. And so it's just a matter of aligning with that. All right. Thank you, Dr. Sean. Thank you, listeners. With that, it's a wrap.
Thank you so much, Reverend Tanya.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
1, 2, here I go.
Well, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head. You know I'm hungry like a dog, like a New York City rat, a school of piranhas, or a Venus flytrap. Takes a lot to to me, baby. Give it to me, baby. I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah. Yeah, you